of God. I have high ambitions this morning. I have four areas of God that I want to cover this morning. And we can do that, right? I'll get you home for lunch. Not a problem. But anyway, talking about the idea of who God is. And it's so important and imperative that we know who God is. He's revealed himself in his word. Because I love him, I should want to know more about him. But also, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As I take God's word and apply it to my life, of looking at who God is, I can trust him more. And we need that in this world today, to trust the Lord more. So the first attribute we're going to look at this morning, that God is holy. We use this term a lot, right? God is holy. It's really not a word we use other places, right? We all tend to talk about things that are sacred, things that are holy, and then so things that are secular, right? We kind of use these terms out. The word holy, actually, in Hebrew, is a really simple word that in here means to be set apart. So I always kind of think of the idea of holy, sanctified. We're in this, I don't know, I'm old enough. I refer to this room that we're in as the sanctuary, right? It's funny, a lot of the young folks nowadays, if you're hip and cool, you know, the auditorium, right? I like the idea this is a sanctuary, right? It comes from that word holy, means that's set apart. That this is a room that is set apart for the worship of God. And so in here, holy means that God is separate, right? He's absolutely pure. Right? He's not contained in this world. He's separate from this world. That he's not part of his creation, that he is separate from it. And because he is outside of these things, right? God is outside of time. Think about that. He's outside of space. God's not contained by all these things. And we're going to look at the last three attributes, kind of describe that, how God is outside of all this. But he's not limited by it. Right? God is revealed in his creation, but God is not his creation. And we look at the world and how it all goes in. And the world system, the Bible talks about a lot about the world. Right? And oftentimes when God talks about the world, he's not talking about the globe of the world. What he's talking about is the world system of the world. And God is outside of that. Believe it or not, God is not influenced by what comes out of the United Nations. Right? God is not influenced by what comes out of Washington or Augusta. God is outside of all those things. Amen? Alright? I'm glad by that. We once had that kind of cave, and it's funny how, you know, you watch the news and you find yourself kind of changing how you think a little bit. Because we're in this system. God is outside of those things. Right? So in this, he's not affected by sin. Sin is part of this creation. God is not affected by that. God has no sin. God is perfect in every way and perfectly good at all times. That's all contained within that word, holy. That he is not like anything else. We serve an awesome God. I remember in high school we had to study Greek mythology. And you hear about Zeus and Apollos and you hear about all those things. And I remember as a young kid reading these stories of the Greek mythologies. And man, they played out like a soap opera. Right? All the tragedies and the stories and the vengeance and all. And man, it's like, man, these guys are messed up. They're just more powerful, but they're messed up. We do not serve a God that is like that. We serve a God who is above all those things. There is no other God like that. The book of Isaiah, Isaiah is brought before the throne of God. And then he reveals this. And we look at the scenes of heaven. It says, in the year of Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And a train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And they cried to one another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Heaven is filled with the praise of the holiness of God. And we can see this scene in heaven. It's just awesome. And Isaiah, in this midst, he sees all this. He goes, "Woe is me." Right? When you're in light of all that, when you're compared to the holiness of God, we as humans can't do anything but shrink back. I often think of cockroaches who don't like the light. They scurry out into the darkness. I'm not saying you're a cockroach. I'm saying you're like one. No, right? But in here, the contrast of all that, we see this throughout Scripture. When God reveals His glory, we draw back because we are not like that. We are sinful. We are part of this world. We're part of the problem. In face of an awesome, holy God, we recoil back. And God draws us to Him. I mean, that's just a fascinating dynamic. That we have a holy God. And here it talks about holy, holy, holy. And some will liken this until they talk about the perfection of God. Holy, holy, holy. Some will bring this up to the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each one is holy, holy, holy. But the earth is full of His glory. It cannot be contained in it all. What an awesome God we serve. Samuel says this, and no one is holy like the Lord. Right? There is no other God that's like Him. I know sometimes in our lives, I've heard people say, well, there's a good and evil, right? There's God and Satan. And Satan is like the God of evil. Let me tell you something. Satan can't hold a candle to our God. He's a created being. He's contaminated by sin. He's the God of this world, but nothing compared to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of the holiness of our God. There is none other like Him. There is none besides you, nor is any rock like our God. He is a sure foundation. He is the steady. It's interesting, anytime you go through the Old Testament especially, and it talks about the idea of rocks. It's like, what's the big deal of rocks? I remember my oldest daughter liked to collect rocks. And actually, I didn't realize this, we probably did this to her, because we'd be off, visiting somewhere on vacation or something, and a rock is a cheap souvenir. Just pick up a rock. It's like, oh, okay. And didn't think anything of it, and then we were moving. And she had a box of rocks, and she's like, "Dad, will you carry this?" I came in there, and you couldn't lift the rocks. I'm like, "Honey, what are..." And she could remember, like, where all these rocks came from. I'm like, "Honey, we can't take this." We were moving from Enfield to Minnesota. "We can't take this many rocks." "But they're all so important, Dad." I'm like, "No, if we do this, they'll charge us property tax." I mean, it was like so many rocks. So we did what any good parent was. We sent her out of the room and we pared it down to just a few and brought those things. So she's probably in therapy right now dealing with the loss of her rocks. But one thing you realize, especially when you talk about the Middle East, it's a lot of sand. And it shifts and changes. So you just can't say, I'll go down to the third sand dune and take a left, because the next windstorm, that sand dune probably isn't there anymore. So throughout Scripture, oftentimes what they refer to is the rocks. These were the immovable things. These were the solid things. They're a point of references, of ownership, right? You lay a stone down to declare where your property was. We see this all throughout Scriptures. So when the Bible talks about our God is a rock, He is a solid, He is firm, He is sure, He's consistent. God is all those things. Now, warning, you might get excited because we're talking about God. And there is no one like Him. There is no other God except our God. And He is holy. We see this laid out that he's now part of his creation. Colossians says, for all things were created. What? That were in heaven and earth. The visible, the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. God is not part of his creation. He's outside of it. God can be eternal because he's outside of time. He's not contained by our space because he created this space. He is outside of that. So he's not contained within it. He's not limited by those things. What an awesome God we serve. And there's so many verses I can go on. I got just a few more. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness and of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, remember we talked about Isaiah, right? God is holy. We're not. But because of Jesus Christ, he impugns on us his holiness. He died on the cross to take our sin. And through accepting Christ, we become part of that. And he bids us come. We're told in the book of Hebrews, let us come boldly before his throne of grace. We don't have to recoil because of his holiness. Because now he has called me holy. Who isn't? All through the mercy. Remember we talked about that last week. God's merciful. God wants to have a relationship. God is love. But he's holy and just. And so in this, Jesus Christ satisfies all the requirements. And so I can boldly come to him. Not on my own holiness, but on his that he has given me. Think about that. But he should have an impact on our lives because now, as I am in Christ, and Christ is in me, and he is holy, and I am not, we should in here pursue holiness. We don't hear this a lot in churches today. But God wants to produce in us holiness. Remember he talks about the idea of holy sanctuary, right, that word? We play that over, the theological term is sanctified. That he is cleansing us from our sins in this life. That he's trying to produce in us holiness. We should be changing to be more like him. And so let God have that perfect work in your life. Of taking you and separating you from this world. Separating you from your sins. From your desires. And I think right now, especially in the U.S., I think God is doing a great shaking up. That there is now a whole lot of middle ground now. Either you will stand with God and his word, or you'll stand with the world. Pursue holiness. You can say, well, Pastor, but I'm not holy. No, pursue it. And that's where grace, remember we talk about how God is gracious. That we falter, we fall. But he forgives all through Jesus Christ. To produce in us a holiness. Peter says this, but he who called you is holy, right? God is holy. You also be holy in your conduct, in how you live. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The Christian life should be a pursuit of holiness. You're saying, Pastor, there's things that I shouldn't do? Yeah. There are things I shouldn't watch? Yeah. Like I said, unfortunately, especially in America, the American church is like, hey, you know what? You can do all the things in the world and have Jesus too. Jesus says, be holy, for I am holy. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You will pursue those things. Not that we've arrived. But hopefully I'm not the person I was a year ago, 2 years ago. Hopefully there's a change in my life as God has had his perfect work in my life. And even though I falter, even though I stumble, he still works in me. He's working in you. That's God's grace. That's why all these attributes are important. Of who God is. We can't pick and choose. Right? I mean, people are like, oh, you know, God's love. Oh, yeah, I like that attribute. Well, God's just. Well, God judges sin. Well, I don't like that one. Or God's holy. I don't like that one. All these things are God. And all these things, to me, I feel bad because I don't think I have the words to explain it all. So that's something I just hope the Holy Spirit will help click in your life, because through Christ, all these things are satisfied. That's the importance of the gospel. The good news is that there's a holy, perfect God who judges sin. And He loves you, a sinner. Because He's just, He has to judge it. And so Jesus took that judgment for you. And in here, He gives you His holiness. Right? All in Jesus. That's why we sing the song, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washes white as snow. Jesus has accomplished that. How can you not love Him? How can you not want to live for Him? One who has done it all, who's brought you, a sinner. I can't remember what song it is. Is it At the Cross? There's a line in there, in the older hymnals, that says, for such a worm as I. I don't know if that's, is that in the cross? I don't know what our songbook is, so I should be careful here. But the older hymnal, the original writing was, for such a worm as I. And that became offensive. Of course it did, right? Everything's offensive today. And so some of the newer hymnals, now you guys are all going to take your hymnal out, listen to me. But a lot of the newer hymnals will change that for sinners such as I. Because, oh, how dare we be called worms? Oh. He said, you know, our pastor, he just called us cockroaches. All right. I am nothing. I am a sinner. I deserve God's wrath. I don't deserve His love. But Jesus took all of that upon Himself that I may be called a child of God. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. I'll become Pentecostal here by the end of this. But we should be thrilled of who we have in Christ. And the idea that He is holy, right? It makes me want to pull back, but He says, come. And we come in the boldness of Jesus Christ. So God's holiness isn't something to be feared as a Christian. It should be like, wow. And we're entered into the presence of God. And it's awesome. Right? Have you ever been somewhere that kind of really outclassed you? You know, we grew up pretty poor. We weren't important. You know, we didn't go anywhere fancy. And you ever been to some place that was like really ritzy? And you're like, wow, I can't believe I'm here. Right? You know, you go to a restaurant and the silverware all matches. Ooh. Right? But you go somewhere and you're like, wow, why am I even here? We had opportunity, was it 3 years ago? Now I'm not a big sports guy. You know me, right? Sports is my life. But we have friends of ours who have a friend that's pretty wealthy. And he's got a private box seat at where the Twins play baseball in St. Paul, Minneapolis. You can tell I love my sports. I can't remember the name of the stadium. But Minnesota Twins. So in here, he's like, hey, you guys want to come? We're like, yeah. So we went into the back entrance, and there's limousines dropping off all these people in their fancy garbs. And so we go in, and out behind, this is how, if I could do this all the time, I'd love sports. Because there's like all-you-can-eat buffet back there. And it's funny because you got all these pretty people getting out like limousines and all that, and they're all wearing their baseball, you know, they look like they're slumming it. And so they're all in there, and it's like, you can have as much as you want, and everything's like all ritzy and fancy food and all this. And it's like, it's gorgeous. I didn't know this existed in a baseball stadium. Chandeliers and all that. And so we were in there eating, when the game starts, we go up. So we went out, and we have our own little private little box place. Right behind home base, which I guess that's a good place. And we're just like looking around and, you know, like, I don't belong here. right? I'm just a hick. I don't know nothing, right? But I was like, wow. You know? I mean, they brought home little towels for you to wipe your little fingers off after, you know? It was funny because it's like they had all the, you know, they had a little fancy buffet. Then they had like this, the, you know, because you have to have hot dogs and peanuts and Cracker Jacks. They had all those little, and so you get a hot dog. And so you're kind of eating this hot dog, but you got this guy who's all dressed up. Would you like some mustard with that? And he's putting a little mustard on the, and it's like this really, right? It's like, oh, this is what the rest of the world looks like. But we had a just a little taste. And it's like, I don't deserve to be here. Boy, I'm glad I am. Right? And we watched the game. I can't remember who won. I can't remember who they were playing. I know the ball went around. They hit it with a bat. Someone caught it. And that's pretty much it. You know? And so I was probably really underappreciated all. But I was just like, we were there by grace. Right? I say all of that to say it was by grace. Because we'll never go back, right? I have no idea even what the tickets, if you could get tickets for right there, right? It's like, no way. How much more so, Christian, that you and I are brought before the throne of grace, right? Our heaven is going to be our home. We're the streets of gold. No more pain. No more sorrow. Everything's going to be washed away. We're going to be in His presence worshiping Him. We don't deserve it. But praise God He brings us there because of who He is. So let us come out from among them. Be separate. Live a life that's worthy of that. Not that we earn it. But if truly the Holy God lives in us, we should live separate from this world. You should reflect on us now. The holiness of God. This is just supposed to be a little skim on it. Second point. That God is omniscient. So here are fancy words you can throw around and people will think, ooh, you're really smart. Omniscient just means that God is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. The Bible says, for our hearts condemn us. God is greater than our hearts, and He knows all things. God knows what you're thinking, what you're saying, where you're going, what you're doing. None of those things are hidden from Him. The psalmist brings this around and says, oh God, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar off. You comprehend my path and my laying down. And are acquainted with all my ways. God knows all. From the creation beginning, God knew all things. There is no surprises with God. There is no plan B for God. Because He knows all things. In your life, God is not surprised at all. I shared you guys with that meme I saw on Facebook, which I just love. And it said, don't worry, God's already factored in your stupidity. Right? God already knew. You let Him down, and He loves you anyways. He knew you were going to stumble. He knew you were going to fail. And He loves you and called you anyways. And we look at this God. And this God looked at the whole world. Controls it all. Knows it all. And yet He cares for you. Matthew tells us, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But every hair of your head are all numbered. You know, the birds fall, God knows. And what Jesus reassures us is, look, He even knows how many hairs are on your head. I remember talking to someone, they were going through a trouble, and I said, have you prayed about it? He said, no, God's got all big things going on. He doesn't have to worry about me. Let me tell you something. God is so big that He can worry about those and you too. There's nothing small, right? I am convinced, I can't find this in Scripture, so I'm stepping out on dangerous ground here, but I'm convinced that there's a whole league of angels that are designed just to find car keys. Right? Have you ever panicked? Right? I was talking to this lady, he goes, you know, that's kind of foolish to pray because, you know, God, I need my car keys and I don't know where they are. Right? And she's like, don't you think God has bigger things to worry about? I said, you know, it's interesting because the prophet went out and he lost the axe head into the water. And I love this. He's like, Lord, it was borrowed, right? It's not mine. And God floated it to the top, right? God is concerned over those things. Just last week, I went to get my truck inspected and it didn't. And I had to replace a hanger on the back for the spring. And I was watching videos and they say, you know, if your truck's older than 5 years, my truck's 20 years old. It's older than 5 years. Chances are it's rusted solid. You never removed it. You got to cut it with a torch. And I'm watching these videos. I'm like, and so I jacked the truck up and I was like underneath it and I was messing around with it. And I was like, Lord, please. Right? And he said, Pastor, you know, this is dumb. Well, this is my dumb life. And I was like, all right. And it was important to me. I'm like, Lord. And went up there with a wrench and the nut, it just spun right out. Right? It took me longer to watch the video than it was to replace the part. It just slid right out. I replaced it in there. It's like, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? God, you are so good. Right? You know, I love it. Bruce isn't here this morning. But praise God. You know, I love this. The doctor's concerned. We see this. Shows up on that. He goes in and they're like, we don't know what happened. It's gone. God's able to do all those things. He knows. And sometimes we go in there, right? And we ask God to answer a prayer. God still knows. And we trust Him. Because God knows all things. So even when it doesn't work out like I think it should, God's not caught by surprise because He knows all things. He didn't catch Him off guard. He can be trusted. We see this leads into, right? God knows all things, but then God is also omnipotent. That God is all-powerful. You're a real redneck, you can call it omnipotent. Right? But God's omnipotent. God is all-powerful. Nothing is impossible for Him. Now, the only thing that limits God's power is His own nature. There's a couple things God cannot do. God cannot lie because it goes against His nature. Every once in a while, someone comes up, well, can God, if He's all-powerful, can He make a rock so big that He can't lift it? I'm like, all right, well. The answer is no, because a rock is an infinite thing. We have an infinite God. But you know what? God doesn't play those games. Right? It was funny. We were down in a Chinese restaurant with my sister-in-law, and she was teasing me. And I like spicy food, and so I asked for extra spicy. And they gave me those, you know, those red little pods. Came up there, and she goes, "I dare you to eat that." And I'm like, "I could eat it, But I'm like, "I'm 56 years old, right?" I don't fall for the I double dare you anymore because I don't care, right? I got nothing to prove. God's got nothing to prove. And some of these mental gymnastics are just the kind of way to try to brush God off without realizing how awesome He is. Jeremiah says, "Oh, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched your arms. There's nothing too hard for you." The creation around us, God created and put in place. I love it in Genesis chapter 1. It talks about the creation, and God spoke and made light, and God spoke and divided the waters, and God spoke, right? And we see this. And one of my favorite verses in there, I didn't put it in here, but is that he says, oh yeah, He made the stars also. It's kind of like, oh yeah, by the way, you know those stars, the universes, the galaxies, and the black holes, and the quasars, and the red dwarfs. You know all that stuff that, right? Oh yeah, by the way, God just made those. Yeah, just kind of, it's kind of a throwaway line. I love that. Right? It wasn't like God up in the universe is like, oh, I need all my power, all the mustard. And he just barely squeaked it out. Our God is so powerful that the universe, within a blink of an eye, made something out of nothing. That's the power of God. That's the God we serve. Nothing is too hard for him. For I know you can do everything, Job said, and there's no purpose of yours that can be withheld from you. Folks, there is nothing, I repeat, nothing that can keep God's will from being accomplished. That's why when we pray, we say, Lord, according to your will, let this be done. Your situation is not hopeless. You are not outside of the power of our God. Trust in him. Because if God doesn't do what you ask him to do, it's not because he can't. Because we looked at what last week, that God is righteous, right? God does the right thing. Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, was facing the cross. And I love this passage. Because he says, look, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus faced the cross and said, God, Father, if there's any way, other way to accomplish your will. And there was no other way. Folks, if you are in a situation right now, it's not because of the lack of power of God. You're on that road because this is the only way for God's will to be accomplished. Trust him. For Jesus looked at him and said, with men, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. The power of God in our lives. Last point. Squeak this in. I could preach a sermon on each one of these. But God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. The Bible says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? It's interesting because when I was younger, I had these verses that God's everywhere, God's watching me, and I was like, oh, that's kind of scary. The reason why was because I was doing things I didn't want God to see. But as I've gotten older, I've realized, man, God, your eyes are not off me. I will never leave you nor forsake you, God says. And he will see you through your situations. He is faithful to keep every promise he has made because he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and he's there every step of the way. Psalm 139 again. Actually, if you get a chance, Psalm 139, read this. It all talks about all the attributes of God. I encourage you to read the whole thing. It says, where can I go from your spirit, and where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings in the morning and dwell in the outmost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. But forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Right? All these things. God sustains us, keeps us, provides for us. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want. God provides for us. He cares for us. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? You are with me. You may feel like you're all alone in the darkness. Let me tell you, God is there. He created time and space. He's outside of those things. So God is not contained by them. And God is with you and watching you and keeping you by his power and by his might. We serve an awesome God. we look at these attributes, that God is holy. God is separate from this world. He's pure and righteous. God is omniscient. He knows all things. God's omnipotent, all-powerful. And God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. What a mighty God we serve. Amen? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Encourage us, strengthen us by it, Lord, as we look at, but what a mighty God we serve, and yet you know me. You know how many hairs are on my head. You know my shortcomings. You know my failures. You know all these things, and yet you love me. You call us to live a holy life and forgive us when we fall short. Lord, by your power and your might, hold us and keep us each step of the way, Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Lord, you are worthy of honor and praise forevermore. And all God's people said, amen. Why don't we go